Hi everyone, thank you for tuning in. Today we'll be talking on a very interesting topic about reimagining healthcare using technology. In that space, we'll be discussing how technology is transforming the healthcare industry and how it can be used to create a more patient-centric and affordable healthcare system. This week, we have some fantastic speakers lined up who are experts in their respective fields and have a wealth of experience in upcoming technologies. Please join me as I speak to Ms. Sophie Smith, the visionary founder and CEO of NAPTA Health. NAPTA Health is a hybrid healthcare platform for women, enabling accelerated detection, diagnosis, and treatment of chronic diseases. Prior to founding NAPTA Health, Sophie honed her skills as a technology consultant for Accenture and went on to launch several impact-driven startups, including My Zindagi, a doctor-finding platform in Pakistan, and Lay Plastics, a waste plastics to roads company in Sierra Leone. Earlier this year, Sophie founded the 2022 Female Angels Movement, which aims to promote gender parity in early stage investment by publicly listing 2022 female angel investors for MENA, which stands for Middle East and North African countries. This initiative demonstrates her commitment to empowering women and promoting diversity in the startup ecosystem. We are privileged to have her join us today, and I have no doubt that her insights will be both enlightening and inspiring. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my absolute pleasure to welcome our special guest, Sophie, to the podcast today. Welcome to TechMens Podcast, Sophie. I'm very happy to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me.
With this, let's dive in. Sophie, with the wealth of experience that you're holding, and as an industry insider who knows the healthcare industry inside out, I would like to know how technology supports personalized holistic healthcare.
Okay. I'll actually break the personalized and the holistic into two, because they're slightly different things. When we say holistic, we mean multi-specialty, where specialties can be both within sort of traditional and then more functional medicine as well. And when we say personalized, we mean something that is tailored to an individual based on their age, stage, kind of physiological profile, and their health goals as well. So what do they actually want for their health? And the way that technology enables these things is severalfold. If you look at traditional healthcare in the West, you know, the hospitals and clinics that we have, they have been designed and built to treat acute diseases. Dial back 50 to 70 years, the majority of the disease burden was acute. So communicable diseases like COVID-19, things like broken arms and legs, you know, conditions that could be triaged, diagnosed, and then treated through intervention or prescription. And the idea with these acute diseases is that you would pin a person to a disease, you treat the disease and it goes away, and so does the person. But today, the vast majority of the disease burden is chronic. So non-communicable diseases that are mostly caused by dietary, lifestyle, and environmental factors. And these diseases, no matter how much you intervene or prescribe within a facility, usually don't go away. So actually what we found, and one of the premise for what we built at NAPTA, is that traditional Western medicine and healthcare systems are not designed to support the growing prevalence, or to help with the growing prevalence of chronic disease in society. But if you have a whole load of specialists in a hospital where each specialist has a sort of set of diseases that they are good at diagnosing, if all you have is those specialists, it's very difficult to think in a kind of multi-disease way, to pin diseases to the person and to treat the underlying factors rather than the disease itself. And that's where technology comes in, because what technology can do, you know, is connect multiple specialists within a framework as part of a kind of coherent care team, where they can see and share discoveries about an individual and create a proper continuum of care for them. You know, with the application of machine learning, you can process as a single specialist or as a care team vast quantities of data about the person in the context of their peer group and populations in general, and you can use these to make more informed decisions. So you're no longer working in isolation as a specialist, taking each patient in front of you and looking at them as a potential disease. you are working together using an augmented intelligence, so combining patient, artificial and clinician intelligence to pin diseases to a person and treat that person in a personalized and a holistic way.
Absolutely. Well said. AI, virtual and augmented reality, can be used to stimulate medical procedures, provide training for healthcare professionals, and help patients manage pain and anxiety during medical procedures. So undoubtedly, technology is empowering the patients to take an active role in their healthcare. That's for sure. Thank you for sharing your insights on holistic healthcare, Sophie. I have another question for you. What role does data engineering play in accelerating the treatment of chronic diseases?
So again, chronic diseases, because they are mostly lifestyle-based, usually have a common set of underlying factors, be it things like insulin resistance or chronic inflammation, or stress, so high cortisol levels, other things that may or may not relate to the environment. And if you have one chronic disease, you usually have several. So it's very common to see people who, for example, hypertension and high cholesterol levels and insulin resistance as well, because actually many of the factors that affect one affect the others. And this is where data engineering comes into play. If you can understand what other diseases a person might have based on the symptoms they exhibit, based on even pre-symptom, their kind of age, stage, and goal, based on the conditions they've already been diagnosed with, you can predict other diseases they might have today, but the likelihood of them developing diseases in the future. So you can use machine learning in the context of diagnosis and also prognosis. And so this is where data engineering comes in. It allows you to create much more rapidly a kind of profile of chronic disease in an individual, and then to identify effective ways for supporting that individual in managing, even reversing those chronic diseases based on the things that we know about them.
Right, well said. And I think we have seen this in real. One of our clients, who is a leading provider of chronic care management, had a huge voluminous data in a traditional data center environment. And when we processed, migrated, and integrated their data, the end result was not just better chronic care management, but it also enabled them to get into predictive analytic models, wherein they could anticipate the onset of chronic diseases and take proactive measures to prevent or manage them. This is how, you know, the healthcare providers, I think they are using technology to intervene before the disease progresses.
Exactly.
So building on that, Sophie, what do you think? How telemedicine is transforming the healthcare industry, and what benefits does it offer to the patients?
So again, I think this is telemedicine, and its efficacy is actually, although post-COVID seemed to be more established, it's still in its infancy. So, you know, telemedicine can take various forms. You can have audio only, you can have video with audio, you can also have chat messenger-based telemedicine. And I think increasingly the use cases for each type is sort of being discovered and tweaked. So telemedicine, where it involves video or audio consultation, is very useful if you are dealing with a person who usually has an acute disease actually, or has a chronic disease and needs to be referred to a particular specialist, but always an individual who already knows exactly what they have, and they're after a repeat prescription, or they're after a sick note, or there's something specific they need from a doctor, and that's that. Chat, or where audio and video consultations are less useful, is where, particularly with women, there's any kind of physical, there are any physical symptoms that need to be investigated further. So for a lot of women, for example, who suffer with irregular periods, where there might be sort of intermittent bleeding between periods, a teleconsultation that involved just audio and video would never suffice. You would need a way to investigate them physically, whether that's using a device that you kind of give to them to use remotely, or a procedure that you do in clinic, like a transvaginal ultrasound, for example. We're increasingly finding also that, especially among female populations, chat messenger-based consultations and interactions are greatly preferred to audio and video because they allow women to ask questions in their own time and receive responses in their own time. It means that they don't have to block out a 20 or 30 minute slot for a consultation. they can ask a question here, and then when they have time, they can answer it. And, you know, that's an area of telemedicine that is currently kind of underutilized and underexplored. And a lot of providers haven't yet figured out how to factor it into their interactions with patients, except for in a very informal way. So, you know, a lot of patients, for example, will communicate with their doctors via WhatsApp. So I think, I mean, telemedicine gives you the opportunity to access practitioners in every corner of the world, as long as they're covered with kind of global professional indemnity insurance. It gives you the opportunity to access second opinions. It gives people in very remote parts of the world opportunity to access care full stop. But exactly what the sort of best practice scenarios for telemedicine look like, I think, is still something that is being discovered.
I think this is especially beneficial for patients who live in rural or remote areas or have mobility issues. They can receive medical care from the comfort of their home, saving time, eliminating the need to travel to a doctor's office or hospital. And of course, along with the convenience, you know, another benefit that I can see is cost savings. You know, virtual visits tend to be much less expensive than in-person visits, and the patients can save a great deal of money on transportation costs or lost wages due to time off work. So there are multiple benefits, but as you rightly said, that it's at a nascent stage and it needs to be built over a period of time. But it's great to see how technology contributes to making lives better.
Yeah, I think, again, I mean, this is, so our model is a hybrid healthcare model. We coined the term in 2018. We actually published a book, the sort of seminal work on the topic of hybrid healthcare. This is where hybrid healthcare really comes into play, because let's say we take your scenario where people are accessing doctors using telemedicine in rural areas where they couldn't possibly connect with that same practitioner physically. If there is any kind of intervention or more hands-on diagnostic that is required, you then need to be able to get that out to the person in wherever they are. You know, so if you need to be able to confirm with certainty whether they're ovulating within their cycle, then you need to be able to provide them with an accredited and proven fertility monitor that they can use to confirm ovulation from home, because they're not going to be able to come into a clinic for you to scan them and see where they are within their menstrual cycle. So where you have options like telemedicine, you need to be able to think about the entire continuum of care and what disease management looks like for a person in that context. And you need to be able to offer them diagnostic and kind of treatment related tools that they can then use independently and at a low cost from home.
Thanks for sharing your insight. And that brings me to my next question. As you rightly said, that technology has the potential to improve healthcare, yet there are some challenges that need to be addressed. So what do you think are those challenges that need to be addressed to ensure that the technology is used effectively in healthcare?
So I think one of the problems with digital technologies that are developed today is that they aren't developed in the context of things that doctors use already to diagnose and treat patients, namely clinical pathways. A clinical pathway is how you get an individual from pre-symptom to diagnosis, diagnosis, treatment, to rehabilitation. And if the technologies that are being developed don't plug into these clinical pathways, but if it's not easy for a clinician to see how the digital technology that you're giving them either replaces or enhances something that they already do or makes the clinical pathway more efficient, and if it isn't fully kind of integratable and interoperable, it makes it very, very difficult for it to be adopted within traditional frameworks. I think one of the reasons why health tech funding has traditionally lagged behind other sectors, although that's now starting to change, and one of the reasons why a lot of health tech companies, even when they're well funded, end up, you know, not being able to kind of fully show their capabilities and end up being sort of acquired and bought in under established healthcare companies is for precisely this reason, that the technologies that they've designed haven't been designed with the end user, i.e. the kind of incumbent provider, in mind.
So collaboration is the key, right? healthcare providers provide valuable insights into patient needs and preferences, and the technologists, they need to develop and implement the technologies that is needed to collect and analyze data and other related technology.
Yes.
So moving on, Sophie, I would like to ask you, what are some of the potential future developments in technology that could transform the healthcare industry further?
So I think if you want, firstly, in order to enable the effective management, mitigation, reversal of chronic disease, which is key because chronic diseases are going to be responsible for all sorts of pretty serious pandemics within society in not a very significant amount of time. For example, Frost and Sullivan, based on a recent study they did, estimates that by 2032, 97% of couples in emerging markets will struggle to conceive due to the prevalence of chronic disease. In order to effectively address that, we need to be able to empower populations to manage their health effectively outside of facilities. So arm them with information and tools and access and data, access to their own health data that allows them to manage their health mostly on their own. And so the only way that we can do that is by decentralizing medical record creation and ownership, and really allowing the patient or the individual to become the primary architect of their own care. So things like blockchain, for example, that create immutable decentralized ledgers and allow people to permission data when it's shared and to decide who it's shared with. This is a technology that has a really key potential application in healthcare, as long as it's also, it's DAP-based, so decentralized in terms of its applications, as opposed to, you know, requiring every provider to introduce new applications onto its system. So I think the decentralization of health data and the effective empowerment of individuals thereafter, using things like blockchain, is an example of a future development that could further transform and eventually completely overhaul the healthcare industry.
I think that's a really interesting insight that you've shared, Sophie. What I've understood is that standardization of technology and data formats is necessary to ensure seamless communication and coordination between healthcare providers and systems. And at the same time, when we are bringing in so many new technologies into the system, the healthcare providers must be trained and educated on using technology to provide high quality care effectively.
All of those things are true, but I do think even beyond those, like where we will see the transformation of healthcare is where healthcare becomes more like well care, where our today accidentally unwell population is able to manage its own health and well-being effectively outside of facilities, with facilities, but outside of facilities in the most part.
Absolutely. Well said. Thank you for sharing your expertise with us, Sophie. It is evident that data engineering has a critical role to play in accelerating the treatment of chronic diseases, and collaboration between healthcare providers and data engineers is essential to achieving this goal.
Sorry, I was going to say, again, thank you very much for having me. And it was a pleasure to talk with you on the topic of personalized and holistic healthcare.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to have you over, and we look forward to having you back on our show in the future. Thank you, audience, for tuning in. If you have any questions or feedback, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Thank you. Bye-bye.